lesson this morning, singing songs about going home to be with the Lord. Everybody don't even say it, but I'm going to go ahead and say it because it's right across my mind here. When someone went to the wedding here, she, and I don't know if you get offended by me saying it, but this woman that's getting married, I've seen it before. I mean, the pictures of her and everything, she don't look that good. But yesterday when she stepped out for that wedding, being that bride, she had all that makeup on. And all them imperfections were no longer saved. And I got to thinking, well, I said, there's something to do. All those imperfections are completely gone.
Oh, yes.
I had to catch myself sitting there. I thought, if I could have cried here at this wedding, somebody would say something when they cried. I get to thinking about my body, how I've been cut and stabbed in places, and you look at that, and there's scars. I got them scars spiritually on me.
Yeah.
There's a coming day, as the other thing talked about and sung about this morning, I'm going to be adorned in a different aspect than I ever have been.
Amen.
And those scars are not going to be the conversation. It's not going to be saying that I've dealt with the hardships of life, but what they're going to see is somebody that's been redeemed by the blood.
Amen.
And Revelations, it says, we'll sing that song of redemption. It's going to be the blood.
That's right.
So often we face some hard times down here, but I'm thankful. We've got a better day to look forward to.
This morning. Amen.
Our scripture this morning will come out of Psalms, chapter number 55.
Amen.
When you find a place, I invite you to stand and there to read of God's Word. In Psalms chapter number 55, verse number 1, it starts out. It says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. For then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, sealed. I would hasten my chariot from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go abounding upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from it. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God and company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many within me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth bold, Selah. Because they have no chances, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hand against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. I'll ask Chris if you would lead us in a word of prayer.
Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for being in your house today, Lord. Lord, we ask now that you just bless Brother Adam, Lord, give us his father's voice, Lord, for it's amusing. Lord, bring your image things to be studied. Lord, we just open our hearts to hear thus saith the Lord, that they'd be one of the seven of my voice, Lord, that does know you in a free part of sin. Lord, I pray you put conviction on him, you're ready to save your soul, which never lasts too late. Lord, just continue to bless and help his church, Lord, be with all those that are sick and afflicted. You know the ones that are sick. You know the ones that are facing disease, Lord. You know the ones that are having loss. Lord, we just ask now that you just bless and help them. Lord, give them what they need. And Lord, again, we just ask you to trust Brother Adam now, preach and use him, Lord, and that you get the glory and honor. For everything is said and done, Lord, we are wired on our heads and hearts to say Jesus.
As we get into Psalms, as we've looked at many times before, we see that David is somebody that is a picture of a life full of trials and problems and hardship that has come his way. And oftentimes we see as David writes the Psalms about something going wrong in his life, it is David writing that of a trial physically that we can all see. And we don't see much about health trials inside of the Word of God. We don't see much about an emotional thing that is plaguing somebody inside of the house of God unless it all comes from something physically in David's life. Him being pursued and him being sought after by the enemy. And this psalm is the same way of David being hurt by physically in this life, and emotionally it brings David down. But as we look at the psalm, we see that David starts out in verse number 1 and he says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. So as we know that David's in the middle of the trial that he's in and the valley that he's going through, so oftentimes David would start out the psalm with the give ear to my prayer. And he's asking God to incline his ear down to listen unto him and what he's going through and what he's facing. But what we see is David says, hide not thyself from me. As David makes this apparent in a lot of psalms, as he would make the same statement. As he's just saying, as I go into these trials, and as I'm facing the things that I'm going through, so oftentimes my vision is clouded by what I'm facing, and I'm not seeing the picture that God is seeing. You see, David, he's going through something that, as he looks around down here in this walk of life, he sees the enemy over on this side, and each way he would look, he would see how the world is turned against him. It's as though David's been oppressed from every direction. David is facing an emotional load, something stressful that's bringing him down. And he's just saying, God, I don't even see how you're even present in the midst of what I'm going through. And see, that's how we approach our problems a lot of times. And David would hold a lot of truths in the next few verses of what he would say that would ring true in our lives about what the trial that has arisen and how it came about. But he's saying, I don't see God on the scene. Yeah. And see, when those trials come into my life, and when they come into your life, and I would be crazy to think that everybody in here is not facing something in some way, shape, or form. Whether it's told out that our whole church knows, or whether it's something you keep it inside of you, we're all afflicted in some way, shape, or form.
That's true.
But I do not understand a lot of times why God puts things in my path. Don't understand why He would put things in your path. But you see, David never gets the understanding of why God puts him in the middle of the valleys that he's in. But what David comes around to understand is that God is in the midst all along. God has never left. God has never backed out. God has never put him in the midst of the trial without him being present. Yeah. You see, oftentimes people would think that, you know, sin is what causes the problem. Sin is what causes the trial. But that's not the case so oftentimes. You look at the house of God and the things that go on in the trials that God would bring about. It is by God's desire to bring his people into the perfection of the bride of Christ. It is to form me and make me what I need to be in the eyes of God to bring honor and glory to His name. There's no reason to hang our heads and say God's forgotten about us, but instead it's God just loving on us a little bit more.
Yes.
It's hard to see in the middle of the valley. But just as we sing the song as a family from the shepherd's point of view, He is up above everybody else, but looking down. And He knows what the outcome is. I may not see it, and I may struggle. Maybe the trial lasts and endures for longer than I could ever imagine. But God is in the midst. God has never left and never forsaken. As David cries out and continues in verse number 2, he says, "Attend unto me, and hear me, I mourn and my complaint, and make a noise." When David says, "Attend unto me," he's just saying, "Lord, I can't help myself. If I'm attending to something, it's something that cannot sustain itself, cannot take care of itself, cannot manage what it's dealing with at that point." Yes. Think of it as a child. I think of it a lot of times as the livestock, because we raise the birds up when they're little. They cannot fend for themselves. You have to do little things for them that should be unnecessary for something that's old or something that's developed, but they need that extra help. They need somebody there to hold them to go through the things that they're facing. And he's saying, God, and he said, "I can't do this on my own. I can't face what I'm going through on my own." Oftentimes you hear people make the statement of God will never put more on us than we can bear. And that's so untrue in the aspect of it. I will be so overloaded that I will crumble underneath of what I go through. But God is the one that's never going to be overloaded. He is the one that's going to be there attending to my needs, to my every cry, to my every supplication that I make known unto Him. God's going to be there in the midst, taking care of all that. We see David starts out crying unto God, and in verse number 3 he says, he's cried out because. He said, "What's going on in my life?" He said, "These that are oppressed me with wickedness, and have cast iniquity upon me," he said, "Lord, they're causing me to slip. They're causing me to go backwards from where I want to be." I've seen it a lot of times inside the house of God. It seems like when the church faces a lot of obstacles, and that church makes it through the obstacles by depending on God, I see God growing that church and those people in the aspect that they never would have reached any other way. And David right here, he's just saying, "I feel like I'm slipping backwards from where I would be with God. And I feel like I can't worship the way that I should. And I feel like I can't pray the way that I should. I can't feel like I need to, I can't serve God the way that He's worthy of anymore because of what I'm going through."
Yes.
But all along, what God's doing is He said, "David, I'm taking you and I'm going to use you and I'm going to grow you just a little bit." You see, the growth never happens in the mountaintops. That growth always happens in the mountains.
Yeah.
And the process of that growth is so hard.
Yeah.
It's so stressful. It hurts so much.
Yeah.
But God's doing it because He loves you.
Amen.
God's doing it because He loves you. I may not understand it. I may not ever understand it on this side of life. But God's got a purpose.
Yes.
To bring honor and glory to His name. David goes on in verse number 4. He says, "My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death fall upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then when I wandered far off and remained in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." David says in these verses, he said, "I'm hurting." He said, "I feel like I can't make it any further. I'm struggling." Oftentimes as a child of God, we get to that place. "God, I don't understand why You've got me here. I don't understand why You put me through this. I don't understand why You seem fit to make this church seem like it struggles so much. I don't understand, Lord, why it seems like the ones that are strong in the faith seem to hurt the most. I don't understand."
Yeah.
And that's where David's at. "Lord, I don't understand where You got me at. don't understand why I have to hurt so bad in order to be inside your will. And David makes this statement in verse number 6 and verse number 7 and 8. He said, I wish I was like a dove. He said, I would get myself out of the mess that I feel like I'm in right now. He said, I would fly away and get away from the storm and get away from the tempest. He said, I would make it all better for myself. And I would follow the same bracket of I would not go through the things that I'm in. I wouldn't face them willingly. I would flee from them. But David says, that would cause a problem. He said, God has got me here for a purpose. God has got me here for a purpose. It seems like every time that I face something in my life and I call upon God, sometimes God seems like He's silent. It seems like I can't get a prayer through. I know He hears, but it seems like the answer never comes. And it's because God does not owe me any kind of explanation in His will. No way, shape, or form should God have to ever justify Himself to me or to you. But we can trust in the fact that God's never made a mistake in anything He's ever done. We see that David goes back, and just as in verse number 3, he talked about the enemy overcoming him. In verse number 9, his focus is back on the enemy again. You'll see it over and over in this psalm. In verse number 3, David's focused on the enemy. Verse number 9 through verse number 14, David's focused on the enemy. Verse number 18 through verse number 21, David's focused on the enemy. Verse number 23, David's focused on the enemy. The rest of the verses, he's focused on God. In the midst of what you face in your life, it's not going to be, I'm going to face it for this little bit of time, and God's going to sustain me, and everything's going to be good from there on. But oftentimes, we're like David in the midst of those valleys, and there's going to be the high times when it seems like God's working, and then we're going to fall back off again. And God finds a way to go this way. And then it's going to seem like God's a little bit again, and then we get knocked back down again. But we see that David's facing the same thing, but he's got his high and his low in the middle of what he's going through. But in the midst of it all, God's still sustained. And David seeing God in the midst of it. In verse number 9 through verse number 14, it says, destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about and upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. He makes a statement in verse number 12, 13, and 14. An unexpected enemy has come in. There was not an enemy that reproached me that I could have borne it. Neither was it that he hated me that I did magnify himself against me, that I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, my neighbor, my guide, and my acquaintance. We took a sweet counsel together and walked in the house unto the house of God in company. David said in these verses, verse number 9 to verse number 11, he said, everything, Lord, he said, that I've strived for in my life for you, everything that seems like it's good that you've had your hand upon, verse 9 through 11, he said, it's been destroyed. Lord, it seems like so oftentimes in this church, we try to worship, we try to serve, we try to be sensitive unto God and what we do, we try to further the gospel, we try to make sure our heart's traveling, we come inside the house of God, but still yet there are problems that arise in homes and in families and in hearts and lives, and it seems like no matter how hard we strive, it seems like everything well and good gets thrown out the window when those sorrows come our way. And David says it would have been a whole lot easier to bear had it been something that I had expected to come my way. But it's something that caught me unaware. You see, God don't throw things our direction that we can handle on our own, as I've already said. But He brings things that He can handle for us. You know, it wouldn't be so bad if, you know, I think I'm going to grow older these days. I'm getting up my 70s. may start having some health problems in, everything work out that direction. That's what we expect in life. But what happens when that all falls apart before you? What happens when we work our whole lives to make something happen and God comes in early and says, no, that ain't the plan no more?
That's right.
You know, so oftentimes that's what God does. He turns our world upside down.
Oh, yes.
And those times that my world has been turned upside down and it seems like I have nowhere else to go, I have to break down and call upon Him. And He's always been faithful. David makes a statement in verse number 15 to take away the problems in verse number 16. He says, as for me, I will call upon God and He shall save me. In David's prayer, he said, Lord, I can't handle my problem. You're going to have to handle it for me. He said, Lord, keep me strong. He said, while you work everything out to bring honor and glory to your name. In verse number 16, he says, God's been faithful. You see, David has already forgot what he started out in the first verse of the Psalm, but that God has already taken care of these same kind of problems over and over and over again. You see, oftentimes when the problems arise in my life, I forget about what God's done time and time again. But God's always been faithful at the time before.
Amen.
He's always been faithful in y'all's life, and I can see that. And when things arise in mine, I can always look back and say, God's helped me before. He's helped over here, and He's helped in this direction. God's going to continue to help and bless my life if I would so trust in Him. You know, and sometimes I believe we go through certain things, and our pastor made a statement the other week when I was talking to him after service Easter Sunday. And he said he wondered if God had let him go through all the cancer stuff so that he could understand what son's going through today. I wonder if there's some people that face some things inside the house of God that is not just for the growth of you and not just for the growth of your family, but it's for the church to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. You know, we like to make our problems all about me. But God's got a purpose. He can help each and every one of us. God's not made that mistake inside the house of God in singling individuals out.
Yeah.
It seems like oftentimes the world does not face the problems that the church would face. It seems oftentimes these churches that have went legalistic, the churches that have went liberal, the churches that have lost the zeal and fire of serving God, that things have made it so easy. But I made a statement the other week, and I told Summer, I said, it may be that some never have to face the hardships of life like we see, because they don't have a father that they're trusting like we do.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have that present help like we do.
Yes.
God's helping us to rely on Him. I believe He's also helping us for our desires to change from being here to be in there.
Yes, sir.
Seems like the more problems we have, the more our desire that, Lord, just come on, take us home.
Oh, yeah.
You take us all home, we won't have to face this no more. You take us all home, we ain't going to have to deal with any more problems. We ain't going to have to deal with loved ones dying and going home. We ain't going to have to deal with hurt inside of the church. Lord, just come on, take us home.
Amen.
You say, what's happened? My heart's changing. Maybe because we're getting older. And I don't know what it is other than God's draw me to get home to be with Him.
Oh, yeah.
And it's through the hardships that we're seeing in this life. In verse number 18 through verse number 21, he's talking about God taking control of the problem. How God can move it, how God can take as He compares to a battle against them and settle it all. And he says in verse 21, he said, for they were, his words come out of his mouth smoother than butter and softer than oil. These problems that creep in, they're not going to creep in out in the open oftentimes. The same as what's said in verse number 13 to 14. It's a trial that calls off God. It's a storm that hit us when we didn't see it coming.
Yes.
Problems in the church coming from the outside are a whole lot easier to see. You you see somebody come in from the outside, you know with the likeness of spirit that something's wrong. And the church can put its guard up and say, you know, we've got to make a stand here. And we can get rid of that. But the problems that come when everything's fine and you go to the doctor and he says something's wrong, those are the ones that's caught off guard. It's the problems when you've got plans laid out for your life and you think that, you know, this is according to the will of God and everything's laid out according to what God would have us to do in our life and there's nothing wrong with it. God says, no. Not a different avenue for you. It's those kind of plans. And he said, they slipped in. He said, I had no idea this coming my way. He said, but they've hurt me so much. Lord, I can't handle it on my own. I need help. Verse number 22, and he said, a little word in there, and he said, and he shall sustain thee. He's going to give us everything we ever need. He's going to take care of every problem that arises in the midst of that valley. Through the low spots, we're going to face the high spots of God if we see it working. And then we're going to get knocked out again. God, are you there? And then it's like God brings us back up again and we see the hand of God. And then, God, are you there? So much hurt in those trials.
Oh, yes.
God's been faithful. That's what he's got on my heart this morning, church. He's been faithful. He's never failed me. He's never failed you, and he's never failed this church. He's always sustained. You know the thing about sustaining? We look at it, we say, why don't God heal? Why don't God fix this in a way that would bring honor and glory to his name, and we can rejoice, and everything's been settled? That's not sustained. Sustainance makes it where you can get through.
That's right.
Put it to you like this. You see a lot of these animal rescue commercials on TV. You see that dog out there that looks, his ribs is showing, his sides are sunk in, he looks hungry. That dog has been sustained in getting through. He's not been overly taken care of. God, a lot of times, is just going to sustain us in the midst of it. We expect God to pour down blessings. We expect God to come down and say, you know, we prayed and God says, I'll settle it all right now. But oftentimes God says, I'm going to give you just enough to get through. You can make it on what I'm giving you. You can make it on what I'm issuing out. It's not what I want, but it's what God says I need at that point in time. Not our wants, not our desires, but it's sufficient in the eyes of God.
Amen.
Verse 23, he says, but thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. He said, one day God's going to take all these trials and problems that you and I would face and set them aside. He said, but until that day, he said, I'm going to keep trusting. I'm going to keep following after the Lord, letting him sustain me. Church, he's been faithful. He's never failed us, never going to fail us. We can keep going on and trusting in him. David, if you would come around and get us a verse of invitation.